This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Terror suspect had more plans. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Thursday, November 2nd. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Authorities say the man accused of mowing down cyclists and pedestrians in New York City intended to drive all the way across the Brooklyn Bridge. Hear what else he admitted.
President Trump wants to end the diversity visa lottery program that welcomed the Manhattan terrorist. We'll explain how it works.
Game 7 of the World Series was just 8 pitches old, and the Astros were already leading 2-0. They beat the Dodgers 5-1 for their first title.
And the tool that helps you find the best car loans.
The big thing within there is you're going to get notifications if they think your credit score could make you eligible for better rates on your auto loan or your insurance. So those can be some pretty big bills, you know, especially, you know, auto-related ones that you'd want to be thinking about.
Kelly Grant at CNBC.com on the new dashboard from Credit Karma. She's here in about 20 minutes. The New York City terror suspect, perhaps as a surprise to nobody, has confessed to investigators that he was inspired by Islamic State videos that he watched on his smartphone. 29-year-old Saifullo Saipov of Paterson, New Jersey, originally from Uzbekistan, is accused of killing 8 people and injuring 12 others 2 days ago by driving a rented truck down a crowded bicycle path in Manhattan. U.S. Attorney for New York is June Kim.
Yesterday afternoon, a man consumed by hate and a twisted ideology, attacked our country and our city.
Investigators said that Mr. Saipov told them he wanted to adorn the rented truck he used in the attack with ISIS flags and also intended to continue the carnage by driving across the Brooklyn Bridge. The federal complaint filed yesterday also said Mr. Saipov told investigators, quote, he felt good about what he had done and asked to display an ISIS flag in his hospital room. He was shot in the abdomen by a New York City police officer at the scene. Mr. Saipov also admitted that he rented a truck to practice the turns he would make on Tuesday in Manhattan. A marginal visa program once tied to efforts to help Irish migrants is taking center stage in the immigration debate after the deadly terror attack in New York City, with President Trump calling for the program's elimination. The Department of Homeland Security says the man accused of driving that rented truck through a crowd of cyclists and pedestrians emigrated from Uzbekistan in 2010 after winning the Diversity Visa Lottery. The program, also known as the Green Card Lottery, randomly awards 50,000 visas to foreigners each year.
We need strength. We need resolve. We have to stop it. So we're going to get rid of this lottery program as soon as possible.
Meanwhile, Mr. Saipov is a legal permanent resident, meaning he would have been eligible to apply for citizenship. This year, Mr. Trump embraced a Senate proposal to eliminate the diversity visa lottery as part of an effort to reduce and overhaul legal immigration. Unlike most other immigrant visa applicants, lottery winners do not have to have family or employment ties to the U.S. The Uzbekistan native arrested for the deadly truck rampage in New York City entered the U.S. under this visa program that encourages immigration from underrepresented nations. President Trump, of course, called on Congress to immediately end it. Here's a look at what it is and does from USA Today immigration reporter Alan Gomez. Alan, give us some background.
Yeah, this is a program that was created in 1990 by an act of Congress, the Immigration and Nationality Act, that created this program to allow what is now up to 50,000 people to enter the country, mostly from underrepresented countries. In other words, places where you usually don't get in. You usually need a relative or some sort of job to get into the country. And these are visas specifically for places that, for folks who don't have that. The majority come from Africa, Asia, and the Eastern European countries that used to form the Soviet bloc. And so that's where most of them have been coming in from.
Wow. All right. So Uzbekistan, is that on that list?
absolutely is on that list. They last year, in the past 7 years, over 21,000 people have gotten into the United States through the diversity visa program.
Wow. So do countries generally send the max number of people?
They definitely try. Again, these are countries that don't have long ties with the U.S.,
okay.
So they definitely push for it. It's just a matter of how they can get in there. Basically, every couple of years, the State Department reviews where people are coming from, identifies those that don't have a really high number of people coming, designate those as eligible for the diversity visa program. And folks in those countries, absolutely, they apply. As many of them try to get in as possible, but they set up a straight lottery system. So it's
wow.
not assigned by merit. It's not assigned by anything else. It's basically just if you've graduated from high school and you've had at least a couple of years of work experience, so those are the only qualifications, and your number comes up in the lottery, they run you through the background checks. They try to verify your identity, and you get to come into the country.
Wow. All right. So now this is the program that President Trump wants ended immediately.
Exactly. So now he's saying that a combination of the diversity visa, basically people can get into the country, and then because of the way our immigration system is set up, it allows for anybody who gets into the country legally and becomes at least a legal permanent resident to then sponsor their relatives, what he refers to as quote-unquote chain migration. So from what he said so far, and we're still trying to verify this, there's at least a couple of dozen relatives of the suspect who were able to enter the country after he got in. So that's the kind of two-pronged process that the president now wants to eliminate, or he has wanted to eliminate, but is now using this attack as his way of saying, okay, see, this is flawed. We need to end this.
Wow. We're speaking with Alan Gomez, immigration reporter at USA Today. His piece is called Saifullo Saipov Was Here on a Diversity Visa. What is that? So what was the measure in 2013 that came along and involved this?
Yeah, I mean, this program has been, this is not the first time that Republicans have tried to end this program. Back in 2013, the last time that Congress really gave it a good shot to try to overhaul our immigration system, Democrats were trying to preserve this program, arguing that it's, the only lifeline for people who want to get into the country and otherwise can't. Republicans were saying that, like, this is an outdated program, it doesn't serve the national interest in any way, we need to get rid of it. And so as part of those negotiations, the Democrats conceded to, okay, we'll end the program in exchange for all sorts of other things that they got, including citizenship for undocumented immigrants. But it was, part of the negotiations. And so, fast forward to now, the Republicans who were against it then are now standing up and saying, see, this is what we were warning about, is that, some terrorists would get in here through the program, but this is going to start a really interesting debate, I think, in the next couple of weeks, because it's not yet clear if this suspect entering the U.S. through the diversity visa program was a failure of our ability to vet him, to screen him, to figure out whether he had terrorist inclinations in his past, whether he had any ties to terrorist organizations. From the indications we've gotten so far, at least from New York officials and a couple of immigration experts I've spoken to, it seems that he got in fine, that there were no red flags at the time, but he became radicalized after he was in the United States.
Thanks, Alan. Alan Gomez, immigration reporter at USA Today. 14 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday. At least three people were killed in a shooting inside a Walmart store in suburban Denver, where police say they had not yet taken anyone into custody. Police in Thornton, Colorado, did not immediately release any information about the circumstances of the shooting yesterday or who was responsible for the gunfire. Victor Avila is a police spokesman.
From the witness accounts, he just nonchalantly walked in to the front of the business through the south door and just raised the firearm and began firing.
The Thornton Police Department said two men were killed in the shooting. A woman who was injured was taken to a hospital where she later died.
We understand this is a very heinous act. We don't know exactly what the motive of the person was. But it was certainly a terrible act.
Detectives are currently reviewing security footage from store cameras. Thornton, by the way, is a city of about 120,000 people, roughly 10 miles northeast of downtown Denver. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Florida federal authorities say the suspect in a deadly truck rampage was inspired by the Islamic State group's online videos and plotted his New York City attack for 2 months, renting a truck ahead of time to practice turning it. U.S. Attorney Jun Kim says Ifulo Saipov chose the attack date to target Halloween crowds.
Just about 24 hours after Saipov's attack, we now have him charged with federal crimes of terrorism.
Authorities say Saipov felt good about what he had done. From laughingstock to champions, George Springer and the Houston Astros have rocketed to the top of the baseball world, winning the first World Series championship in franchise history by beating the Los Angeles Dodgers 5-1 in Game 7. Dan Schulman called the final out on ESPN Radio.
Corey Seager, the batter, and a swing and a ground ball for Altuve out on the outfield grass. On to first, and the Houston Astros have claimed that city's first ever World Series championship.
The Astros bring home the prize that had eluded them since they started out in 1962 as the Colt 45s. Angry senators warned attorneys for Facebook, Twitter, and Google that they must do more to prevent Russian manipulation of their social media platforms, or Congress will be forced to impose new rules to help readers identify malicious content. Senator Mark Warner of Virginia says Russian operatives are hijacking the national conversation.
They did it during the 2016 U.S. presidential campaign. They are still doing it now. And not one of us is doing enough to stop us.
The Republican-led Congress has generally been reluctant to pass new regulations governing the private sector, but congressional hearings with the social media companies this week showed that the hands-off approach may be changing amid growing frustration by lawmakers with the company's response to Russian efforts to sow division and discontent among U.S. voters. Want to skip ahead to the good parts? Amazon is going to let you do that. Amazon's Audible service has launched the Romance Package, a new service for fans of romance novels. The new Take Me to the Good Part function identifies major plot points, yes, including the sultrier moments, using algorithms and allows listeners to skip ahead in the story. And the steaminess score keys listeners into the level of passion they can expect from a given title on a 5-point scale from sweet to OOOMG.
That's funny. So if it's a dating scene and they're just at the restaurant,
it's like a sweet.
Skip ahead, please. Yeah. You can do one of those.
Yeah,
that's funny.
So.
23 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. When it comes to auto-related bills, your credit score has mileage. Kelly Grant at CNBC.com has a look at a new tool from Credit Karma that might save you money on a car loan. Kelly, what do we have?
CreditKarma.com is a site that's known for providing consumers with free access to their credit reports, their credit scores, but they just launched an auto assistant dashboard that actually has a lot of interesting potential for savings on your auto-related bills.
How does it work?
So they are going to track a lot of information about you. You can check your DMV profile, details of your auto loan or lease. You can get a sense of the current value of your car, and you can see your auto insurance score. So the big thing within there is you're going to get notifications if they think your credit score could make you eligible for better rates on your auto loan or your insurance. So those can be some pretty big bills, especially auto-related ones that you'd want to be thinking about.
Wow. And then what? If you have information you think is valuable, go back and refi or shop for a better loan? You can do it on both those fronts?
Yeah, you can actually refinance an auto loan. Unfortunately, we talked to various experts about this. They say in a lot of cases it's easier said than done. It tends to be one of those options that flies under the radar. And by Credit Karma's estimate, they saw about 4 million users are overpaying on their auto loans.
Wow.
But the problem is with an auto, it's a depreciating asset. So sometimes when you go back to do a refinancing, it's not that easy to do. It's very likely that you would owe more than the car is worth, bank is not going to be too thrilled about doing anything with that. But it's worth knowing for sure, because that kind of helps you figure out what your right financial move to make. The easier thing to do is to reshop your auto insurance, and that's one where they're also going to nudge you if they think you might be eligible for better rates there. NerdWallet had done a report earlier this year, and they said basically 4 in 10 consumers have not touched their auto insurance in years to compare prices, and their feeling is you could save about $416 annually, and that's nationwide. Some states you can see savings that are double or triple that.
Wow. You mentioned early on about this app from CreditKarma.com checking your DMV profile or data. How does it do that? You give them some basic information, or they already have access to it?
Well, when you log in, you're giving them a good amount of information to be able to create your account because you are getting details about your credit score and your credit report.
Yeah.
But they have some partnerships with the DMV to be able to pull in data that way. I was playing around with this, and they very quickly, you know, they found me. They knew who, you know, what kind of car I drive. Mm-hmm. They know, you know, all those fun details. So it's interesting to see what the DMV has on you.
Thanks, Kelly. It's Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. If you like some cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly on Twitter at Gordon Deal. It's 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.
Catch America's First News online anytime at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, November 2. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The New York City terror suspect wanted to fly an ISIS flag in his hospital room. Trump wants to end the diversity visa program. Three dead at a Colorado Walmart shooting. Republicans expect to unveil their tax bill today. Closing arguments in the corruption trial of New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez. Jerome Powell expected to be named to head the Federal Reserve. And the Astros win the World Series, leaving just seven franchises to never win baseball's title. We'll name them in about 20 minutes. Consumers have started signing up to take part in the Affordable Care Act for next year. Wall Street Journal reporter Michelle Hackman says this kicks off a crucial six-week stretch that could test the law's durability amid Republican leaders' continuing desire to see it repealed. Michelle, what are we looking at?
So the Trump administration announced earlier this year that they would cut the annual Affordable Care Act open enrollment season in half. So under the Obama administration, it ran about 3 months, and now it'll run about 6 weeks through mid-December. And that's the time when people can log on to healthcare.gov and sign up for a new healthcare plan for the next year.
And the purpose of that was what? Why do they shrink it?
There was some concern on the part of insurers that people were signing up a little bit too leniently, that people were waiting to get sick before they signed up. And so they tightened the rules for those reasons. I think Democrats and supporters of the Affordable Care Act would also tell you that they are trying to shorten the amount of time that people can sign up because they don't necessarily want people to sign up so they can tout lower enrollment numbers.
Mm. All right. So as you point out, too, that fuels this debate over whether the Affordable Care Act is sinking of its own accord, or as you say, being undercut by the administration's actions. And that
right.
falls along political lines, I'd imagine.
Right, absolutely. So the Trump administration has taken several other actions besides cutting the open enrollment season in half. They've decided to cut most of the budget that the Obama administration used for advertising and for these groups called navigators that actually are on the ground in different communities helping people sign up for health care. They cut about $116 million in spending on those two items. And Democrats point at that and say, well, they want the law to fail. That's why they're cutting all this money. Republicans are saying, well, the Trump administration shouldn't be forced to spend money on a law they think is already failing.
Mm. Boy, and you point out, too, like, although the money for advertising and navigators has been scaled back, isn't the state of California spending, like, more
nearly
than that?
Nearly as much.
Yeah.
Yeah, just on its own.
So are other states doing that, too?
Not quite to the extent of California, but yeah, there are about nine other states that operate their own websites. They don't run on healthcare.gov. And so they have a little bit more leeway in how they're able to implement open enrollment. And so they have expanded dates. They have more enrollment events. They're doing much more reach out. So
we're speaking with Wall Street Journal health policy reporter Michelle Hackman. She's written a piece entitled "Health Analysts Expect Lower ACA Enrollments as Shorter Sign-Up Period Opens." How do insurance companies feel about this shorter window? Because, as you point out, they were a little concerned that folks were waiting till the last minute and perhaps getting sick before they signed up. But they need bodies signed up, don't they?
That's true. So, you know, insurers are happy because I think that they view the shorter period as a cleaner way to get people in at the beginning of the year, have more stable enrollment in their plans. But there is a real concern that not enough people will sign up, and especially not enough young, healthy people. And so you see some insurance companies actually taking on some of the marketing themselves. There are some insurance companies running ads saying, sign up for healthcare. Mm. So they're definitely concerned.
Wow. Is the White House offering up any kind of numbers that they want / expect with regards to Obamacare signups?
No, not at all. So in previous years, the Obama administration put out very specific projections that they wanted a certain number of people to sign up, and they sort of put it as a goalpost or a marker, and the Trump administration has not done that.
So what does this mean then? Like if the numbers are what I think one person guessed could be 1 million signups fewer, then what happens, in 2018?
Well, there are a few dangers. There's a practical danger in that fewer signups tends to mean higher premiums for people who are still enrolled in Obamacare plans. That's, you know, partially because a lot of the people that are expected not to sign up are those young, healthy people that sort of counterbalance the older, sicker customers that tend to sign up for these plans. There's a political calculation here, too, which is that people, Republicans in particular, can look at these low enrollment numbers at the end of the season and say, look, people aren't interested in Obamacare. It's a failing law. We need to repeal it so more people can sign up for insurance.
Thanks, Michelle. Wall Street Journal reporter Michelle Hackman in Washington. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it's safe to say it's hard to have a better night than Carlos Correa had last night. First, the Astros star shortstop became World Series champion when his team toppled the Dodgers in Game 7. Then, while the Stros were still celebrating on the Dodger Stadium field, Correa proposed to his girlfriend, who said yes, and the moment was captured by Fox.
Daniela Rodriguez. You make me the happiest man in the world. Will you marry me? Will you marry me?
Oh my God!
By the way, for those of us who've been married for a long time, that's what it sounds like when a woman is really, really, really
right.
happy.
She was rendered speechless.
Yes. Afterward, Correa told ESPN that he was planning to do it all along if the Astros won the series. Correa says he had the help of a clubhouse attendant who brought him the ring as instructed after the final out of the game. The soon-to-be bride of Correa is Daniela Rodriguez, the 2016 Miss Texas USA. Hopefully, she's ready for a workout as the ring has been described by many as being very, very large, with one sports writer joking on Twitter that the ring looked like it was bigger than Correa's diminutive teammate, Jose Altuve.
I thought it was along the lines of the size of first base.
Yes.
When I saw it.
Yeah. Yes, yes. That also could be another one.
He was on the diamond and offered a diamond.
Yeah, there you
How about that? Huh?
You are writing some serious headlines this morning.
They both earned rings last night.
There you go.
Huh? That one too?
Yeah, I'm sure those are all out there somewhere.
How about the kiss he got, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
She was happy.
National TV audience. I mean, they mashed lips like their eyes were touching. Their faces were so pressed together. Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. And you know you've heard of Frankenstein's monster. Now meet Frankenstein's baby. The Associated Press says a Florida couple got an extra treat on Halloween. A baby Frankenstein. Make that Oscar Gary Frankenstein, who made his entrance into the world 4 days late and after 14 hours of labor on Tuesday at Winter Park Memorial Hospital. Parents Kyle and Jessica Frankenstein told news outlets that baby Frankenstein weighed in at a hardly monstrous 6 pounds, 9 ounces. The baby's grandmother, Jennifer Frankenstein, said that she is the first baby in the family born on Halloween. She does have a daughter who shares the same birthday as Mary Shelley, though, the author of the Frankenstein novel, first published in 1818. Now, I don't even know, to be honest, if they actually pronounce their last name Frankenstein.
Yeah, well,
they very well could be the Frankenstein family, for all we know.
I got news for you. If I were this family,
yeah,
I would at least legally change the spelling so nobody is even tempted to say Frankenstein.
Right,
I would just switch it to S-T-E-E-N.
Right. Or, you know, just be the Franks.
Just the Franks.
Just the Franks family.
Or the Steins.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Oh, baby Frankenstein, really?
Held out for an extra 4 days just to be born on Halloween.
Right.
And 14 hours of labor.
There's a child with a plan right there.
Yeah, for sure.
Very good. Thank you, Mike. It is 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well with the username at Gordon Deal. Your parents' work-life balance can determine how you manage your own. A new study by Harvard Business Review found career habits we subconsciously pick up from our folks play an important role in how hard and how often we work and make time for family. In a write-up on moneyish.com, it found that women who had working mothers wanted to take after their mom's commitment to her career. They were less conflicted about their work-family responsibilities and were able to cope better with the guilt of having to leave their kids during the day to have a successful career. The study also found people who grew up in families where the father was the breadwinner and worked extensive hours often ended up internalizing that work ethic with or without realizing it. Two-parent households, by the way, with a stay-at-home mom have grown much less common in the U.S. since 1970. Today, both parents work full-time in 46% of homes. In 1970, by contrast, both parents worked full-time in just 31% of two-parent homes. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Kashenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, federal prosecutors have filed terrorism charges against bike path attack suspect Saifullo Saipov, who is accused of killing 8 people and injuring a dozen others when he drove his car along a bike path in lower Manhattan Tuesday. Federal prosecutors say he was consumed by hate and a twisted ideology when he attacked cyclists and pedestrians. President Trump's response to the attack has been in sharp contrast to what he did after the Las Vegas massacre that killed 58. In the days that followed that attack, the president said it was not the time to discuss policy, but yesterday he called for an immigration overhaul.
We don't want lotteries where the wrong people are in the lotteries, and guess what? Who are the suckers that get those people?
Trump later tweeted that the suspect should get the death penalty. Colorado authorities say a man nonchalantly walked into a Walmart last night and immediately opened fire with a handgun, killing 2 men and a woman before fleeing in a car. Thornton police spokesman Victor Aveo says the shooting appears random.
Witnesses indicated that there was an adult male that entered that southern doorway and just began randomly shooting into a group of people.
2 men died inside the Walmart, which is about 10 miles north of Denver in a busy shopping center. Defense witnesses took the stand this week during Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl's sentencing hearing as his attorneys attempt to sway the judge from deciding on a severe punishment. Yesterday, a forensic psychiatrist testified that Bergdahl suffers from numerous mental illnesses, including PTSD. Bergdahl pleaded guilty to desertion and misbehavior before the enemy for leaving his outpost in Afghanistan in 2009. Another remake, but this one is going to have quite the star power. Beyonce, actor James Earl Jones, and comedian John Oliver are joining the cast of Disney's new live-action film version of The Lion King. Jones reprises his role as Mufasa, while the young Simba will be voiced by Donald Glover. Beyonce will play Simba's childhood friend and love interest Nala. The film is being conceived along the same lines as another recent remake, The Jungle Book, which also saw big names voicing photorealistic computer-generated animals.
Wow. So are there going to be any big names in this, or?
You sleeping over there? Wake up.
Beyonce, James Earl Jones, holy cow. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Here comes the 3-2. And George drills this one deep to left center field. You can kiss that one goodbye. A 2-run home run for George Springer. And the Astros lead it 5-0.
Robert Ford on KBME as George Springer hit that 2-run homer to left center field. Put Houston up 5-0. They led it the rest of the way and won their first World Series championship in their 55-year history. Well, the 55-year wait is finally over. Astros beat the Dodgers 5-1 last night. To make you feel worse about your team not winning, USA Today has a list of the now seven teams that have never won a World Series championship. The Texas Rangers, who've been around since 1961, lost the World Series back-to-back in 2010 and 2011. The Milwaukee Brewers, born in 1969, lost it in 82 and have reached the postseason just four times in 48 seasons. San Diego Padres have reached it twice since their 1969 start, lost to the Tigers in 84, the Yankees in 98. Washington Nationals on the list. That's the former Montreal Expos, yet to appear in a World Series. Seattle Mariners, 40 years of futility. Colorado Rockies, around since 93. They were swept in 07 by the Red Sox. And the Tampa Bay Rays, who lost the Fall Classic in 08. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.